perspectives. Buying a house in Tallahassee can sometimes seem downright impossible. The market is tough, inventory is low, prices are high, and understanding the ins and outs of loans and location can be mind-boggling. But you can do it. Today, we have a panel of experts joining us in the studio to tell us how. Joining us today are Ron Byram, a national sales manager with University Lending Group for Renovation Lending, Will Shepard, president of the Tallahassee Board of Realtors, Christy Henry, managing broker at Kingdom First Realty, and Shinkton Lammy, director of the Leon County Office of Human Services and Community Partnerships. Don't forget that you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 414-1234, or if you're outside of the Tallahassee area, call us at 1-800-926-8809. You can also send us an email at perspectives@wfsu.org. So maybe a good way to start here is to just briefly go around the table here and let all of you guys introduce yourselves and tell us, you know, sort of what part you play in helping a person get a home. Will, we'll start with you.
Fantastic. My name is Will Shepard. As you said, I'm the current president of the Tallahassee Board of Realtors. I also am the managing broker of a local real estate firm. But as far as my duties regarding the Tallahassee Board of Realtors, really I'm the, for this year at least, sort of the public face moving forward. So I don't, in that role, have a lot to do with helping people to buy homes other than to try to educate them on the market.
Great. And Ron?
My name's Ron Byram, and as you mentioned, I'm National Sales Manager of Renovation Lending with University Lending Group, a local lender here in Tallahassee. I do have to give a little bit of information. My NMLS number is 276811. University Lending Group's NMLS is 213179. They are an equal housing lender, and all customers must be credit qualified. I have been in the mortgage lending business for over 15 years here in Tallahassee, just over 7 years specializing in renovation mortgage lending. And my role is to work with buyers to try to get them lined up with the best type of financing to meet their needs to help purchase a home.
All right, Shinkton.
I'm Shinkton Lammy. I am, again, the director of the Office of Human Services and Community Partnerships. And our Office of Housing Services Division falls under my department. And our goal is to promote safe and sanitary affordable housing here in our community, specifically in the unincorporated areas of Leon County, with the primary focus of promoting and sustaining home ownership.
Mm-hmm. And Christique?
Hey, y'all. I'm Christy Henry. I am a local managing broker for independent brokerage, Kingdom First Realty. We've been in business for about 15 years this month. My specialty is people in real estate, so I try to make sure that all of the services that we do are geared toward helping people understand how real estate impacts life. And my volunteer work is mostly in neighborhoods as a part of the board of director for the Council of Neighborhood Associations of Tallahassee-Leon County.
All right. I think maybe a good way to sort of open this conversation here is to talk about, you know, we've got you guys here, you're all experts on this subject. And so I'd like to hear from your perspectives, maybe what's the most important thing for someone to think about when they are starting to consider buying a home?
I mean, I think that the first step, at least, when it comes to something like that is probably going to be to form a relationship with a lender.
I agree. Yeah, you really want to have a good deep conversation with a lender. Even if you're not ready to give all your information to get fully pre-qualified, you need to have an honest conversation with a good local lender, explain what your credit looks like, explain your income, what type of income, if you're self-employed or salaried, how long you've been on a job. Let the lender kind of guide you as to where they think you are and if there's any steps you should be taking to get ready, or maybe you're already ready. You should really start there.
I think also if you don't start with the lender, because a lot of people are scared of banks, there are a number of housing organizations that specialize in home buyer education. Of course, Tallahassee Lenders Consortium, which has a routine home buyer education class that is offered and can be accessed online. Also, the Tallahassee Urban League has a home ownership course as well. There's a lot of opportunities to learn about the process before actually enlisting in the process, and I would recommend that folks read up on it so they'll be comfortable going in and talking to a lender or a real estate professional.
And I'd piggyback on what Christique was saying about that, because that is the most important thing, is to educate yourself. And those partners she mentioned do a great job of doing that. We've partnered with them in the past too, and that's something we always try to, or always promote to those individuals who come to our office, want to know, well, what can I do as far as buying a home? Well, first, want to know the in and out about lending, about the market, and especially, like Ron mentioned, about yourself financially. Are you financially healthy to make that big leap? And is it what you want to do? Maybe you want to wait a little while, or maybe you do want to remain a tenant for a little while, but that education is a key component of when deciding to go into the market for a home.
Mm-hmm. And does I believe I was looking on the Leon County website, and I saw that Leon County Housing Services offers, I guess my understanding was, kind of people who will also help guide you through the process, who will work with you on it. And
well, we do that through our partnerships. And one of the things that we're working hard over the next few months to do is really start promoting our down payment assistance program. And that's, I think, is critical, especially as you mentioned in your opening, Reagan, about the fact that it is tightening in the market. And one of the things that helps, and when it tightens, that means the cost gets a little higher. And so that assistance for those who are first-time homebuyers, those who are low income, those type of services become important. And so we try to offer that, or would plan to offer that, with working with partners here in our community.
Mm-hmm. Ron, I thought that what you were talking about was very interesting. You talked about establishing a relationship with a lender. And I guess I'd never thought of using that word, relationship. You know, I think they're just the guy at the bank. They're not my partner in this process. But is that more how it works? Is it more of a partnership?
That absolutely is the way it should be working. You should be in a partnership with your lender. They should get to know you well and be looking out for your best interest and providing a lot of that educational piece. And I agree that we have some great local resources for providing education. I just spoke as a lender volunteer at the Tallahassee Lenders Consortium Home Buyers Course this past weekend, and they do a great job. And as the realtor gets involved and all those different pieces, I mean, we form a team, and everybody is looking out for the best interest of that buyer. And if a realtor starts moving forward with a customer and trying to put them under contract before they've spoken to a realtor, they might be going in the wrong direction, not asking for certain things in the contract they should have, and vice versa. Once you've got a lender, you really want to look at getting a realtor. Everybody plays their role on that team.
Mm-hmm. And is finding a lender a process where maybe a person should shop around? Do I want to go talk to more than one potential lender? And what should I be looking for? You know, just a person whose personality meshes with mine? Or what other things would I want to consider when selecting a lender?
Well, I think personality is a big part of it. Obviously, you want someone that you mesh with, that makes you comfortable, that seems very knowledgeable and experienced. And it depends on what you're doing. You want to make sure that they have the right products and tools. Down payment assistance was mentioned. There's a variety of down payment assistance programs, first-time buyer programs, a lot of different types of loan products out there. So you want someone who's knowledgeable in those things, can speak knowledgeably to you about them, and help guide you towards the choices that you ultimately will be making as the consumer.
Mm-hmm. What about, Will, similar questions to you. What should a person be thinking about when they're trying to select a realtor?
Well, first, you should, I think at least, call on recommendations of your friends, people that have walked that path before, because it's a very anxiety-provoking task just to begin the entire process. Moving is very, very stressful for most people, which is why I think it's critical that you start the process by talking to a lender. It's difficult to talk about money. I mean, that's something that's uncomfortable for a lot of people, a lot of couples sometimes as well. But it's, if you want to make this move, it's going to happen eventually. Most lenders aren't going to do a hard pull right away. You're going to start talking to them and counseling them first and kind of getting information from them, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we won't pull the credit until they're ready. But if they're really ready to go out and look and want to be prepared to make offers, especially in a market that is moving as fast as it is now, they need to get to a point where they're prepared to let someone pull their credit. A lot of times they're real nervous about that. But if they truly want to be pre-qualified, where they can make an offer that's backed up by a letter from their lender, they need to take that step. But no, we won't take that step initially if they're not prepared to. We can just talk things through and help get them ready without that if need be.
All right. And I think Tallahassee is very lucky. We have a great pool of lenders here. I can't think of a single one I wouldn't feel comfortable recommending. And I think as long as you start that process, then you can begin to get to your end goal, which is getting into the home of your choice.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that idea of a hard pull a little bit. I know, as you said, that's something that does make people nervous. They're worried about the impact that could have on their credit later on down the road. My understanding about that, and maybe you can tell me whether I have a correct understanding, is that if I have several hard pulls within one very short time frame, a couple weeks or something, that has the same kind of impact on my credit as if I just had one done. Is that correct?
Well, when you say hard pull, that's just a full-blown pull. That can be a consumer pull, a mortgage pull. There's a variety of pulls. The Tri-Merge Mortgage Report, where we look at Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, that's what mortgage lenders pull. What you were saying is correct for that type of pull. Once the first mortgage lender pulls it, you do have a window of opportunity because people shop for mortgages, that you can have some other folks also do Tri-Merge Mortgage pulls, and it impacts your credit as if there were one pull. What you don't want to be doing if you're getting ready to buy a house or in the process of buying a house is going out and getting consumer pulls. It's not a time to car shop or even shop for furniture or things that you might want for the house. You want to hold off on that. If you're thinking about doing anything related to that, speak to your lender first.
Okay. Very interesting. Christique, I wanted you to weigh in a little bit, too, on what you think people should be considering when they're looking for a realtor.
Well, I agree with Will. I think that most of my business comes from referrals. In fact, 85% of my business comes from people that I already worked with, which is pretty good because that means they like you. If you're not getting referrals, that's a problem. The second thing I think is, so there's various points of entry, right? You're going to either go to a lender first or you're going to go to a class first. But mostly they're going to come to a realtor first, right? So it's important, first of all, that you, and I hate to do the shameless plug, but that you work with a realtor.
Right.
And realtor is a designation. Everybody's not a realtor. Some people have licenses. They're real estate licensees. Realtors subscribe to a code of ethics that actually they can have complaints filed against them, not just through the state, but through our local board. So it's really important because the agency that we hold for people and the responsibility we hold for people to ensure that we're able to offer services, we're capable to be able to take them through the process is huge. So I would definitely make sure that you get a realtor. Shameless plug, Will. Shameless plug. But also that realtor be someone seasoned, be someone that can translate, you know, not someone that speaks over your head and is super, you know, heady in terms of conversation, but knows how to break it down to your level and also will direct you to the resources that some of our panelists have already indicated.
All right. Quick break. And we'll talk more about buying a home after this. Welcome back to Perspectives. Today, we're talking about the ins and outs of home buying. Don't forget that you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 414-1234. If you're outside of the Tallahassee area, you can call us at 1-800-926-8809. You can also send us an email at perspectives@wfsu.org. So before our break there, we were talking about sort of what are the important things to consider when you're selecting a realtor to work with during your home buying process. One thing, I have a few friends who are working on buying homes right now. They're pretty deep in the process. One thing that some of them have asked me about is whether there's a benefit or a cost savings associated with using the listing agent. Is that something that, Christique, as a realtor, you would say, yeah, that's a thing people should do, or maybe it's best to have a realtor to work specifically for you?
So the great thing is that there is such, you know, freedom in how you want to go about your process. There are some folks who just believe that they want to work with the listing agent. There is no additional financial, that's a benefit to the listing agent. Yeah, they don't, you know, but at the same time, they're doing both jobs. So how we work is that usually there's a listing agent, and then, you know, sometimes there's a buyer agent that's working with the client, and then we cooperate, everybody's happy, and they get paid. But if they decide to get their own agent, that's also their liberty as well. And I encourage in some transaction that people get their own agent, because at the end of the day, our transaction brokerage agency specifies that there's a certain type of diligence, there's a certain type of loyalty. It's not total loyalty, but there's a certain prescription for the way we do business. And sometimes we keep those lines intact by ensuring that people are represented properly to just mitigate any instance of confusion or feeling like somebody undermined their position in the transaction. So, yes, there is a benefit either way. There's liberty on behalf of a buyer to work with either just the sole listing agent or to go ahead and get their own buyer's agent. But there are designations for accredited buyer agents that can be searched and researched through the Tallahassee Board of Realtors, National Association of Realtors, and those people have been trained in buyer agency. So if they do definitely want to work with a buyer agent, they may want to search that database or, again, look at referrals from others.
Mm-hmm. Shington, I think at the beginning of the show, you were talking a little bit about when people are considering working through the home buying process, one question they should be asking themselves is even whether they want to buy a house right now. Elaborate on that a little more. Who do you think should be buying a house? Like, who's a good candidate for home buying?
Well, one thing about home ownership is it's a lifestyle. I mean, it's a different lifestyle versus being a renter. We talk about it as the American dream to own that home, but at the same time, it brings a lot of significant responsibilities and maintaining that home also. So someone who's has to know that they're ready for the financial responsibilities as well as the maintenance of the home in order to determine that, yes, this is where I want to be in my life. Is it the place I want to be in my life? Also think to themselves, is this the community I want to be in within the next 5-10 years? Again, we were talking about it before we went online, came on air, is that one of the benefits of renting at times is that you can, you know, it's usually an annual lease, and after the lease is up, you just can walk away and move to where you want to go. Homes are different, you know. When that's your home, you got to determine whether or not picking up is not as easy, you know. You got to put that house on the market. If it's not going to go on the market, do you rent it? So a lot of decisions come with that responsibility. So that individual knowing that they're ready for that responsibility of that home is so vital. I know I experienced it in my life with me and my family, and I see it happening all around my neighborhood also.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea you were talking about, the length of time that somebody might be in a home? And I don't know if you're the right person to answer this question. Maybe some of the rest of our experts here can jump in. Is there a certain length of time that's ideal to be planning to stay in a home? I know a lot of people talk about one of the reasons to not rent and to stay in a home is that you might be able to build equity. And so maybe you're going to pay similar to what you'd be paying to stay in a rental house and build no equity, but instead you'll be paying that towards your mortgage and building equity. But doesn't building equity take some time? I mean, what's the sort of sweet spot amount of time?
Yeah, sure, it does. And that's kind of a shifting line a little bit. But I will tell you on average, and I'll look to Ron to corroborate this for me, I think most people would tell you somewhere in the 3-year period, 3 to 5 year, if you're going to buy to offset closing costs and stuff like that. And then, of course, a lot of that is dictated by the market itself, you know, the direction that it's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And right now, I mean, values are escalating. So, I would say in 3 years, you've probably walked into a good position right now as long as the market trend continues, what it has been doing. You want to think, even then, you want to think about, whether you want to buy a home that you're going to live in from an investor's perspective. Are you just focusing on equity? Are you focusing on the freedom? If you are renting, I mean, what happens if you're the owner of that house decides he's going to sell it and you're uprooted? There's certain freedom that you've grasped a hold of once you've had ownership, but you do need to make sure you're ready.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. And you talked about the sort of from an investment standpoint. I think that's something that people have in mind a lot when they are buying homes. Is that a safe thing to think that, you know, you're buying this home and it is an investment and one day when you retire and downsize, there will be a little nest egg in that for you?
I think that's a great perspective. In fact, that's the problem. I think people buy homes, and I'm not knocking HGTV. It serves its purpose.
Go ahead.
but I think that's the first That's the dream, right? Because let's just be honest, homes have paid for children to go to college. Mm-hmm. Homes have paid for business startups. Homes have paid for investments for families and in other realms. So the home, the dream of the home is not necessarily the home. It's what the home represents. It's what the home has the potential of being able to resource in our lives. So it is an investment. I think in the turn of the market, what happened is people forgot that. So instead of seeing, you know, even though everything was going crazy, the folks that remembered that, they were snatching stuff up in droves because they understand the cyclical nature of real estate. And I think as homeowners on our level, we have to be more investment minded so that we have the kind of equity in our home so that if we have to pick up and move in 3 to 5 years, or if we have to refinance to get our kids in the school they want to go to, or we have to refinance to get that money out to improve the home, we have the equity position to do so. So yes, it is extremely important for anyone purchasing the home to truly go at it from an investment standpoint.
And for most down payment assistance programs that governments provide, they incentivize that. I mean, when to get those funds for down payments over closing, you have to remain at home at a minimum of 3, and some programs require to be there for the entire term of the first mortgage. So those are, and mainly because of the fact that for government, what's great for us is we believe that helps build those communities. And the tax base. So that being said, you want those individuals to remain in those homes and build those communities.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about down payment assistance. Who is that available for?
Most time, down payment assistance is available to first-time homebuyers. So those individuals who haven't owned a home in within 3 years. Also, for our program specifically, we focus on low-income residents. But there's also down payment assistance, not just for low income, but also veterans, and as well as there are programs. Like one of the things that we're looking to do is really provide some additional down payment assistance for those individuals who want to go and purchase a home that may need a little TLC, you know, a little bit of rehab or a lot of rehab, but with the focus on encouraging the redevelopment of those neighborhoods. Leon County, we hold a day of service event every year. And when we hold those events, one of the things that we do is we go into a community or neighborhood that may be a little distressed. And a lot of times when we go into those neighborhoods, we run into an issue where it's a lot of owner-occupied, a lot of renters too, and a lot of renters who've lived there in those homes for years, and they like the home that they're renting out, but they've never had that ability to actually tap into and access so that way they can actually purchase that home. And if you do want to purchase that home, and you've lived that for several years, you also want to be able to fix up that home too. And so with certain loans that are available, and I know Ron knows a lot about them out there, we want to encourage people in our community to have the ability through down payment assistance to tap in and purchase those type of homes too. And in that encouragement, we go beyond not just low income, but we look at moderate income residents too to provide down payment assistance for.
Yeah, I think that idea of buying a fixer-upper is really mm-hmm. interesting. I hear from a lot of my friends who are looking at home buying that prices are pretty high here for them. You know, they're state workers. So many people who live in the Tallahassee area are. And so they've got a budget a little bit. And so that's something that I've heard about people looking at is maybe looking at a fixer-upper. Mm-hmm. Is that a good direction to go in?
Well, you're right in my wheelhouse now.
Everybody pointed at Ron when she asked the question.
I think it's a great direction to go. It's not for everybody. Right. The biggest thing I want from real estate agents, and these two that are sitting here are great, is to not steer people away from that opportunity. A lot of agents see a home that's a fixer-upper or has some bruises to it, and they won't even present it as an opportunity to the buyer. It really should be presented because the tools are out there. We have been doing for just over 4 years now a down payment assistance program through the city of Tallahassee, administered by Tallahassee Lenders Consortium specifically for the FHA 203K, which is a renovation product. And it allows people to buy the home, get it fixed up all in one loan, and also use down payment assistance through the city. And we are in the process of implementing a very similar program that Shington has been spearheading on the county side to open up down payment assistance for the same loans out in the county. And it is great for improving our stock, our inventory. And when the neighborhoods are tight and when inventory is low, I tell people, if you show up at a house and it looks great and you're ready to hustle up and put an offer in, there's probably 10 other people feeling the same way. If you find a home with a tarp over the roof and a bunch of wood rot and stuff, you might be the only one offering. It's not every deal I have has equity, but within the last 90 days, I've had a deal with over $100,000 and a deal with over $80,000 equity at the time of closing. So the equity opportunities that are out there to be found in the marketplace are the homes that everybody's not beating down the door to get.
That's right.
I think that's really interesting to hear you talk about that, because often you hear about purchases falling through. Somebody has a house that they wanted to buy. The home inspector came. There was a problem with the roof, and now they can't get their mortgage. But it sounds like you're saying there are mortgages available for people and homes with holes in their roofs.
Absolutely. And I made the decision over 7 years ago to specialize in these loans, and it was the best move I ever made. I'm passionate about them. I love them. We do two types of FHA programs. We do a VA program, which is awesome because VA is the gold standard of loans, in my opinion, but they're very strict on property condition. And we do a conventional product, and we will let them roll in the funds to address things that are needed on the house or things that are wanted. So if it has that tarp on the roof or things that are going to stop it at the point of appraisal with a regular loan, that's what these are designed for. It's also perfect for when our agents have somebody that's been living with them in their car for the past year because they can't find the right house. I call it fixing the butt problem. I love this house, but I hate the kitchen. I love this house, but I wish it had an extra bedroom. We can also address those kind of issues with these loans.
Interesting. You're saying FHA. Usually when I hear those words, I associate that with the first-time home buyer loans. Is that accurate?
Mm-mm.
No.
FHA is for everyone. Yep. Below a certain price range. I think the area price range for FHA is...
The maximum loan now is $294,515, I believe.
$294,515. But it is for everyone. And FHA has been a great... available opportunity for anyone to purchase a home, 3.5% down. They can get DPA through the local down payment assistance if they're at 80% and below of area median income. But it's not just for folks who can't, who are lower income. It's for FHA is for everyone. But it sounds like to me like conventional as well is opening up a bit. It seems from what I'm learning, the credit scores are going down for products so that they can open up availability for many of the loan products. But FHA is not just for low-income folks. It's for everyone.
Okay. And FHA, what does that stand for?
Federal Housing Administration. And Will can speak to that as well. Basically, they've been a great partner with the National Association of Realtors and every housing industry partner because they guarantee loans. And they guarantee loans for American citizens. And people who would not have been able to get into homes have been able to purchase them over the years through that program administered by the federal government.
All right. You mentioned down payments, and I think that's a good direction to go in. Often when I think about, you know, like sort of the ideal way that people are supposed to buy a home, you're supposed to have that like 20% down payment, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you guys at this table would advocate for?
You're looking at me, but I'm going to throw it over that wheel.
Yeah. I mean, that's great if that's the position that somebody is in. But the reality situation is that is not always the position that somebody is in. Many people are trying to continue to pay their rent and still, you know, pull together some savings to make that down payment on a house. So the lower down payments and any down payment assistance, I think, is greatly appreciated by most buyers. And there are ways you can ask for some assistance from the seller as well, contribution towards closing costs and things like that. So there are different ways to skin that cat, which is why I always come back to the relationship with the realtor, the relationship with the lender, and all the people involved in the process. We are incredibly fortunate here in Tallahassee. I'm going to quote Stephen Lockheim, our CEO at the Tallahassee Board of Realtors, when he says, as realtors, Christique and I, for instance, our main goal is to be in cooperation to cooperate. Oh, yes, we're competitive. I, you know, want that listing as much as she does. But the bottom line goal is so much greater than that. It is to help somebody dispose of a property if that's what they need to do and get a good person, family, whatever, into a good quality home. And I think Tallahassee does a beautiful job of that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just add to that. I think the nuance of that question is, how much skin do you have in the game? And there's a lot of people who still are fanning the flames of their coat from the fire of 2008, right? And so we look at folks who were over-leveraged and didn't have any equity in the loans that they took out. And that's a factor, right? But that's why buying at a good equity position at an affordable payment per month for the buyer is so key and important, because most people didn't go out. They didn't go into foreclosure because they wanted to. Right. They went into foreclosure because the home didn't have any value or they didn't have a job and they couldn't sustain payment. And before, you know, the Obama administration kicked in with the big Making Home Affordable program, it was really kind of it was crazy out there. So I think that it's a valid point. But also keep in mind, the goal is not to keep a loan on the house. The goal is to pay the debt off, is to have a house free and clear, right? Because the house is the financer of the dreams of the occupants, not necessarily the dream itself.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. What about from your perspective, Ron? I mean, is there sort of a sweet spot number that somebody can come in with and say, you know, here's my down payment, and you go, all right, you're going to be set then?
Well, anytime you're putting together a loan, I mean, it is a puzzle. You have to look at what kind of debts they have. Every loan we work with treats student loans differently. The credit score, you know, can plug in differently. If you do have a loan that's not conventional with 20% down, you're going to have mortgage insurance. Is it nice to avoid mortgage insurance? Sure it is, but most people are not going to have a 20% down payment. So we have VA loans zero down, USDA loans zero down. We have down payment assistance. We can get assistance from the seller, as Will mentioned. I mean, it's truly a puzzle, and we always want to find what is going to best fit the needs of that particular person. And even if they have money, they don't necessarily want to pour all of it into the house. Okay, so you have this much money. How much of it would you like to spend? You know, what program can we put you in that best meets those goals? Most of the time when I see people doing large down payments, it's not their first house, and they probably acquired that money from previously owning a house.
All right. Sounds great. We'll talk more about the ins and outs of home buying after this quick break. Welcome back to Perspectives. We're here talking about the ins and outs of home buying with our panel of experts here. Don't forget that if you'd like to join our conversation, you can do so by calling 414-1234 or 1-800-926-8809. And it looks like we do have a caller on our line here, so we'll go ahead and take Grace, who's on line one. Hello, Grace. Welcome to Perspectives. Thank you. Thanks for your question, Grace. All right. And I'm hearing from my people in the control room back here that our listeners may not have heard Grace's question. So just for anyone who missed what Grace was asking about, she just wanted a clear explanation of the difference between a realtor who's working for the buyer versus the realtor who's working for the seller. So thanks for that explanation. Christique, it looks like you are ready to answer that question.
Hey, Grace. So basically what it is every agent is able to represent a buyer or represent a seller. Some agents specifically represent only buyers. They don't want to list properties. They don't want to put signs in yards, but they'll work with people. And then there are listing agents who all they want to work with is sellers. And then there are those who are just ambidextrous, and they work with everybody. And that's the majority of real estate, of realtors and real estate professionals. They work with everyone. But if you're looking for someone who's specifically a buyer's agent, they're starting to kind of recognize themselves in the market. So a real good search and a referral would be good. And if you wanted to get a buyer's agent specifically, then make sure that you indicate that to whomever you're talking to, that's a realtor, so they can direct you properly. As Will said, we're in cooperation, so we want to make sure people get what they're looking for, not necessarily just us.
Something that we were talking about right before we took our break there was what sorts of programs are available for people who maybe are looking for down payment assistance, things like that. And Ron, you brought up the mortgage credit. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is?
Sure. The mortgage credit certificate is a first-time homebuyer program. It's actually also available to veterans, which a lot of even lenders don't realize that. They have to meet income thresholds, just like down payment assistance programs. And if they qualify for it, they actually pay $500 at closing to get the certificate. Then they can use it every year while they're living in that house to get back a percentage of the mortgage interest they paid in the previous year as additional tax refund, up to a cap of $2,000 per year, meaning they could live in that house for 5 years and literally put $10,000 extra in their pocket just for owning the home. They basically gave themselves a raise. And the lender can count it as additional qualifying income, but that's kind of a secondary benefit. The real benefit is we're taking money from the government and putting it back in the pocket of these homeowners. It is a super product. I love talking about it. I love evaluating people for it. So if you're a first-time buyer or a veteran buying a home, you really should ask your lender to evaluate you for that program. It could cost you thousands of dollars if you do not.
Okay. And that's a question I was actually about to ask you is, so if you are a person who's interested in one of these programs, how much do you yourself need to be an expert in this and know whether what's available for you and what you qualify for, or who should you be depending on to tell you what your options are?
Well, I think it never hurts to do research and try to be informed, but a lot of times trying to interpret what you can find out there on the interwebs and stuff can be confusing and people don't truly understand it as they should. You want to ask a realtor, hey, who is well-versed in first-time homebuyer programs? Who should I talk to? Or ask your lender and see how well-versed they seem to be. But if you're talking to a lender and they don't know a lot about it, you may never know what they didn't tell you. So, you know, I think most of the realtors know the deal of who in town really knows these type of programs and can get somebody on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears here a little bit, I talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, that there's maybe a lack of inventory in Tallahassee specifically for people who are looking at sort of mid-range homes. I'm thinking like below $350,000 is what I've heard is where there really starts to be a lot of demand and not so much supply. What are you guys seeing? Is that accurate? Are there homes out there for people?
Well, I put a house on the market, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath over in Killarn Lakes. I put it on the market on Thursday. It was under contract by Friday. That has happened 4 times in the last 3 months. So, yes, there is under 350, the market. If the house is in good shape and people can walk in there and put their furniture in there, the house will go. I mean, seriously, the house will go.
Christy, can I ask a question about that? There were multiple offer situations in either of those cases?
There could have been, but one of them showed up at my office and said, take my contract and okay, and anything else. And listen, so it's kind of gangsta out there, right? So people are sending what's called escalation clauses, and these clauses say, right, hey, whatever you get, increase my offer by this amount because of the response
to a certain amount. That's right.
Yep. To the lack of supply. So yeah, it's kind of difficult, but that's what makes it more important to get you a good realtor with good relationships. Key, good realtor with good relationships, because that really increases the viability of your offers in the market.
Mm-hmm. So I'm from a very small town in Indiana, and so where I'm from, houses are much less expensive, and often you ask to pay below the asking price. Does it sound like the tactic that really a buyer in Tallahassee should be using here is to be offering above or at the asking price?
She shrunk away. I think that depends. I mean, the good news is that we don't get to be the ones to make these decisions. We get to hold their hands and walk them through the process and the anxieties that come up as a result of all that. So if somebody wants to pay asking price or over asking price, then that's up to them. You know, most people, I think, go in with the attitude, as they should, that they want to get the best deal they can get. Well, the seller's coming from the exact same perspective. The good news is, again, I think most of the realtors in Tallahassee get how this whole thing works, and I think we're very cooperative with one another and trying to get people to be reasonable in their negotiations. So, and I would also go back and just to point something out. I think the 350 is a little high, I'll be honest with you. I think that I wouldn't consider that, at least in this market, affordable or mid affordable. I would, if you put anything under 200 in there now that was in a decent location, good house. You know, schools typically are important to people, neighborhoods, stuff like that, walkability. It's going to go, and it's going to go pretty quickly, which is why it's more important than ever if you're a serious buyer that you do have a pre-established relationship with a lender. You've got the letter in the hand that says I can afford up to this amount, because that's going to go with the offer in most cases. Is here, they've already done this. They can afford it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. What other information is pertinent or would people need to know about Tallahassee's housing market as they're preparing to buy a home?
So let's start with the northeast side, where since December 1st last year, there's been a total unit of 1,724 units on the market. Of those units, 769 are on the market currently as new, coming soon, pending, contingent, reduced, or currently active. 955 of them through today have sold. The average sold price has been $363,748. Has been $363,748. And average sold has been $315,448. So what that indicates is that not everything is going at list, right? Mm-hmm. There's some reductions happening. On the northwest side of Tallahassee, you have about, since that same time frame, 691 total units on the market. January 1, 278 are currently on the market on the northwest side. 413 have sold with an average list price of $190,000. $324,000 and an average sold price of $172,863. So again, there's that dynamic of everything's not going up. And it's very specific to area. On the southeast side, we have 454 total units since January 1. 174 of them are currently on the market. In some category, 280 have sold. The average list price was $260,950, and the average sale price was $239,218. That's on the southeast side, southeast quadrant of town. And that includes Southwood as well, right, which is why that number is pretty high. And finally, on the southwest side, which is of specific note to all of us because of a lot of the growth sector that's happening over there with Florida State and the things they're doing over there, there's a total of 206 total units that were available. 101 of them are currently categorized on the market in some category, and 105 of them have sold. The average list price there, and this is key, $124,860 list. 111,282 sold. So that's where your affordable market is right now between your southeast and southwest sectors. So for homebuyers looking to purchase in a growth market, I would be looking at those two areas for affordability and for long-term equity development because of a lot of the infrastructure focus that our county and city is doing over in that area.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with what she's saying there. And I think it's also worth looking into Wakulla as well. Their schools are very, very good. There are a lot of really affordable properties out there. You're going to get decent land in many cases. So a friend of mine who is an appraiser, Greg Lane, and I were having a conversation the other day, and he said, there's affordable housing out there. He said, you just have to look for it, and you have to be willing to go where it is. And the more I thought about that, the more I realized that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. So then that brings to mind a question for me of balancing that desire to find affordable housing and maybe not buying a home in the place where everybody's trying to buy a home right now, but also keeping in mind that you want to develop equity. So how do – that feels like a gamble maybe, right, to buy in this area, this neighborhood that's maybe less desirable. People aren't buying homes there so much. You buy a home there and then you hope you're going to be able to sell it in 5 years or whatever we think is right. How do you balance that?
Well, I think I'm going to pitch this to Shington, who is our government person on this panel. I think that's where it goes to the sexiness of neighborhood associations. Communities that have associations, active and engaged neighborhood associations, are valued at 30% or more than ones that aren't. And so when you talk about long-term investment, it's not just buy, I'm here, hello, my house is great. It's how am I communing with my neighbors? How are we building a sense of place where we are? Because it is a gamble otherwise, right? Because we talk about location, location, location. But in Tallahassee, Leon County, we have to talk about what? Safety, safety, mm-hmm. safety. Mm-hmm. So we have to balance those desires from homeowners and be knowledgeable of how that reflects in value. So neighborhood associations, and I'm just getting on my soapbox, are the best tool to be able to safeguard both of those priorities.
So you're saying your home's not going to build equity by itself necessarily. You have to be out there cultivating it.
Thank you.
Actively
you said
engaged.
It great. Yes. There you go.
And those are the neighborhoods you see. I mean, they're at the commission meetings. You know, they're aware about their infrastructure needs and what's happening, what zoning is occurring, and those areas are the ones that, as Christique mentioned, they grow. And I mean, I see it in my neighborhood also. I mean, that's the thing. Those they're active, they're engaged, and you're not just sitting there saying, okay, I bought this home and I'm going to sit back and watch the value go up and do nothing. I'm not going to cut my grass. I'm not going to do this. I'm not, you know, I'm going to let this old car sit out there. Well, that's going to impact the value of your home and the value of that neighborhood.
That's right. And shameless plug, I do want to give big shout out to the city of Tallahassee with the expansion of their neighborhood affairs department. They see the value of neighborhood organization and having that focus within the government structure, and Leon County for what they do with their day of service and their neighborhood engagement as well. It's critical to long-term value of our area.
All right. I want to go back to the phones here. We've got another caller on the line. We'll go to line one here where we have Mike. Mike. Oh, nope. I'm sorry. It looks like we actually dropped Mike. Sorry about that, Mike. Sorry we made you wait just a little bit too long.
That was a mic drop.
But it looks like from his question here, he wanted to ask about different ways that you could pursue a mortgage. So we've talked a lot about going to talking to your lender and the bank. But we see ads on TV a lot for like that app on your phone to use, Rocket Mortgage, I think, or things like that. What do you generally think about that? I mean, can that help you work better with your lender? Can that replace your lender?
Well, they are a lender. And what is actually behind that is a Fannie Mae program that will do a quick overview and evaluation and pre-qualify somebody quickly for a very general category of loan. If you do that, that's what you're getting qualified for. If you want to truly be evaluated for USDA, VA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, down payment assistance, mortgage credit certificate, if you want to truly be looked at for all these programs and what fits you the best, you really need to have somebody that you can look in the eye and that if things go south, they know that you can come in and sit right in front of them and that you're vested with them, that you're not just some imaginary something out there in the ethos that you know, told you could get a mortgage in 10 minutes.
Right. So to you, it comes down to a personal relationship, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
I believe mortgage lending should be relationship-based, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And just a reminder for all our listeners out there that if you do want to call in and join our conversation here, you can do so by calling us at 414-1234. Or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, you can reach us at 1-800-926-8809. Another question that I have is, what about downsizing? We have more and more retirees who are living in our area, or people who are becoming retired now. What if, you know, they've got a big house, maybe they're up there in Killarn, and they want to move somewhere smaller? Do we have that kind of housing available here?
We do. Actually, I had a situation, and it's a weird situation. The folks were living in South Florida in Sarasota, Bradenton area, and they had a really nice house. It was really big, and they were trying to downsize and move to Tallahassee. Well, apparently, the prices here, people say our prices aren't crack. They're really not. They came here and bought a bigger house for less than what they thought they were going to buy because of the market in Sarasota, Bradenton area is slightly different than ours in terms of value. So they came here and bought like a house on the northeast side at like $300,000, and they thought they were downsizing. And I'm just like, wait a minute, okay. So, you know, there is that contingent, but I think that you're going to see more development of townhomes and places that would accommodate seniors, downsizing, accommodate pioneer buyers who don't have kids, they don't need schools, they just want proximity. You're going to see a lot of that kind of development that's happening, and you're going to see a lot of kind of boutique-type development, like what you see with the storage development going down in Gaines Street. So you're going to see a lot of really eclectic-looking stuff, but we love the seniors and the students here, so we're always going to try to accommodate that market.
Pioneer buyers, I've never heard that term. I like it. That brings to mind another question that I had, which is that we are seeing a lot of these developments around town, but a lot of them are those like multifamily homes or in the mixed use facilities. And I'm wondering, some of those are apartments that are for rent. Some of those are condos that people will buy. Do we have buyers who are interested in that kind of home?
I think that you do, and I think one of the reasons is because that becomes more affordable when you get to the multifamily housing. Lots are incredibly expensive to develop in Leon County. It is a very lengthy process. It is an overwhelmingly expensive process as well. So there is a large percentage of the value that is simply in the lot, just in the dirt. And I think that makes it difficult for most people because then what you put on top of that, you know, really depends on your bottom line, what you can afford to spend. So I think they serve their purpose. Obviously, Canopy's coming online. It's probably the biggest developments in Southwood. And I know one of the things they're trying to do is sort of fill that void. Now, the good news for us is when those people move into there, they'll be moving out of other homes. So as people's equity increases as well, the same type of thing happens. They'll start to pull out of there and hopefully a more affordable housing will come online that we can get good families into.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your information on that. That wraps up a great discussion today here on Perspectives. Thank you to all of our experts who joined us. I appreciate your time. Perspectives is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance is provided by Evan Rossi with Lydell Rawls answering the phones. And I'm Regan McCarthy. Thanks for joining us.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.